One of the distinctive features of Buddhism is that it was founded by someone who made mistakes and admitted his mistakes. So he knows what it's like to make a mistake. You can imagine how different Genesis would be if on the seventh day God looked at the world he'd created and said, whoops. Genesis would have come out very different. But the Buddha, in telling of his life story, how he sought awakening, and how he was able to remember many lifetimes, told the story as a story of making mistakes, learning from them, and learning how to make fewer mistakes. So when he teaches the principle of karma, his attitude is that people do make mistakes, and there's a healthy way to respond to them and lots of unhealthy ways to respond to them. The unhealthy ways include saying that it doesn't matter at all as a way of sustaining the person's self-image. That's very unhealthy because they just keep on making mistakes. They don't learn. The opposite extreme is to say, well, anybody who makes a mistake is going to go to hell. And you reflect back on the fact, well, I've made mistakes. And as the Buddha said, if that's your attitude, it's almost as if you're in hell already, even before you die. The ideal attitude is to realize that you recognize the mistake, and it does have consequences. So you resolve not to repeat the mistake. And then you try to create the right state of mind for not repeating the mistake, but learning from it, which is to have goodwill for yourself, goodwill for all beings, compassion for yourself, compassion for all beings, empathetic joy for yourself and for all beings, equanimity for yourself and for all beings. The equanimity, of course, is for realizing you can't go back and change things. It does not mean that you're indifferent as to what you're going to do after that. The two emotions the Buddha does recommend are shame and compunction. Shame here, it's important to understand, is healthy shame. There are basically two kinds of shame, even though we have one word in English. There are two types. One type is the opposite of pride, where you feel really bad about yourself. And the other is the opposite of shamelessness, where you don't care what other people think. You don't care what is right or wrong. And the shame he's recommending is the second one, the opposite of shamelessness. You think about the Buddha's instructions to Rahula. I'm reflecting, if you look back on your actions and you realize you've made a mistake, you cultivate a feeling of shame. And you go talk it over with someone else. You have to remember, the Buddha, Rahula, were members of the noble warrior caste. This is a very proud caste. They didn't go for false humility. They didn't go for low self-esteem. Their shame was the shame of a proud person. In other words, someone who realizes a certain action is really beneath him or her. So that person just doesn't want to stoop down, lower his or her self-esteem. So this is the shame of someone who wants to maintain high self-esteem. And the attitude of goodwill maintains that, supports that. Because an unhealthy sense of shame would say, well, I'm a bad person, I don't deserve to be happy. We're just reminding you that happiness is not a question of deserving it or not deserving. Think about his instructions. He didn't say he would teach the end of suffering only for people who didn't deserve to suffer. We've all done things that would lead to suffering, have led to suffering. He wants to show us the way out. It's one of the reasons why Buddhism is not so much concerned with justice. It's more concerned with learning how to be skillful. So the judgments that are made are not final judgments on how good or bad a person was or is. The judgments are a work in progress. Think of a carpenter working on a chair. He's using a plane, and he realizes, whoops, made a mistake. But he doesn't throw the chair away, doesn't give up as a carpenter. He has his tricks in the trade, how to compensate for a mistake. If it's a gash that can't be undone, well, what do you do to make it look like it's not a mistake? You make other changes in the chair. So you use your judgments to make adjustments as you go along. So the shame is simply that you would not want a bad-looking piece of furniture to come out of your workshop. We can think of shame as the desire to look good in the eyes of others. And the Buddha recommends looking good in the eyes of the noble ones. People have attained awakening. If they were to look at your actions, what would they think? And you have to remember, they're looking at you with the eyes of compassion, but their compassion is not simply the compassion of wanting you to feel good. It's the compassion of wanting you to actually create the causes for happiness, abandon the causes for suffering. So they have your best interests at heart. They want you to have your own best interests at heart, and healthy shame protects that. The other quality, compunction. It's a hard word to translate into English. The Pali word is otapa. But it basically means concern about the results of your actions. Its opposite would be callousness or apathy, where you don't really care. You do what you want, you don't care about the results. You just want to do what you feel like doing. With compunction, your attitude is, I want to act in a way that will lead to long-term happiness and avoid any kind of long-term suffering. So you care about the impact of your actions. When you have these two emotions working together, shame and compunction, and you realize the Buddhist teachings on karma, that certain actions will lead to unfortunate consequences, other actions will lead to better consequences, and that the working out of that particular principle is very complex. As you said, there are cases where people do good things in this lifetime, but then they start doing bad things, and they die with wrong view. It means it's going to get in the way of those good things yielding their results. They will sometime, but it's going to be delayed quite a bit. Who knows where you're going to go in the meantime? But the opposite is also true. If you've done unskillful things, but then you have a change of heart, you start doing skillful things, develop a right view, and maintain right view all the way through death, then you're bound for a good destination. And of course, with the possibility of going to that good destination, you could continue to practice the Dharma. And one of the results of practicing the Dharma to a high level is that the results of your past bad actions get weakened and weakened and weakened. Think of the case of Mangalimala. He killed a lot of people. But the Buddha saw that he had potential. So through his psychic powers, he was able to subdue Angulimala's pride. Angulimala came, practiced the Dharma under the Buddha, and became an arahant. Now, there are a lot of people who were not happy with this. They may have been relatives of people who had been killed by Angulimala. And so when he was on his alms run, they would throw things at him, stones, other things, tearing his robes, breaking his bowl, sometimes gashing his head. He'd come back from his alms run, and the Buddha would say, bear up with it. This is much less than would have been otherwise if you hadn't had this attainment. So it is possible to gain awakening even with bad karma in your background. But that means you have to have a change of heart, that you don't want to do anything unskillful. You're motivated by shame, motivated by compunction. Because you realize that even though there is a possibility that with the complexity of karma that some of your bad actions will have only weak results, you don't really know for sure. Because you don't know what else you've got in your karmic past. So you do your best right now. This is why even though the Buddha recognized that there are some actions that are both skillful and unskillful at the same time. In other words, not very skillful, but not very unskillful. He said they could lead from anything from a human birth to a lower birth. But it's a gamble. Which is why he said categorically, don't kill, don't steal, don't have illicit sex. Don't lie, don't take intoxicants. That was out of his compassion, because he'd seen the results of these actions, given his memory. It was a long memory. He could see where these actions would go. So he's concerned for our well-being. And he wants us to be concerned for our well-being, too. So we learn from our mistakes. He shows us how to adapt or adopt the right attitude for your mistakes, so that you can learn how to stop making them. That's the protection that he offers as a teacher. And from it, we can learn how to protect ourselves.